You are listening to the Venture Scale SaaS Operator, the podcast where we interview founders who are actually in the trenches. We talk about the transparent journey of how they built their SaaS companies, how they grow them, and what they would do differently if they would do it all over. Hey folks, with us today, Sukh, founder of Engine.ai. Super happy to have you on.
Thank you so much for letting me talk.
Awesome. Let's start with the most important thing. What is Engine and who is it for?
Yeah, so I'm the CTO of Engine. So Engine is a B2B SaaS company that helps other B2B SaaS companies get more customers from Google search. So content marketing and SEO, that's what we make it easy for other startups to do. Who is it for? It's great for right now pre-seed and seed startups that don't have a blog, that don't have an understanding of like, hey, what should we write to actually get customers to one, trust us, and second, actually show up on Google as when somebody types up, let's say, repurposing software. I want my software to show up. How do you actually think about that? We make that easy, which just tell you, hey, for your business and for your LTV, these are three things you should be writing. Then we actually help you write as well. Then we publish. So basically all the blogs on your slash blog are powered by us. Technical SEO, great out of the box. And the last thing we do is analytics, which is how is your SEO doing or how many customers are coming in from this channel and what you can do to like increase that number. So basically all those four steps, typically an SEO agency would do that for you. We do that all in one platform as an all-in-one solution.
You're a bootstrap founder, at least for now. So how did you make the decision to tackle all of that? Because usually people preach that, hey, focus on like one very specific small thing and go after it. But I mean, we also had Jeff from Outsetter on, and they're famous for like their whole positioning. Say, we're an all-in-one tool, and that's why we actually solve a pain for the user. So how do you see that from like a product strategy perspective and from a positioning perspective on that?
Yeah, the idea of bundling and unbundling, I've heard another podcast on this on Indie Hackers, but basically there's seasons of when people want to bundle and then there's seasons when people want to unbundle. So think of like Craigslist. There was Craigslist, it used to have everything. It used to be dating. It used to be like if you want to find a place, if you want to find friends, everything's on there or buy something as well. But now it split up into Airbnb that was just houses, or it is so other examples like that, things that used to be all on Craigslist, but now have their dedicated platforms. So that was unbundling. I think now we're back into the bundling atmosphere, like that sort of trend, because you'll see like Notion just announced that they have a calendar now, and they just acquired an email platform as well. So they're basically being like, hey, we can give you a database or like a Google Sheets type experience, plus note taking, plus email now, plus calendar, all in one place. The way we think about it is our industry, specifically content marketing and SEO, tools have always been very specific. So Ahrefs is a big tool that everybody that gets into SEO uses. It's only for keyword research, right? So I would go in and I would just like find the highest volume, lowest keyword difficulty keywords. But then now I got to take those and then like brainstorm, okay, what can I write to hit these keywords? Then I got to go to Webflow and start writing. And then I got to find some way to figuring out maybe Google Analytics to figure out if I am hitting the right marks, right? So they're all different tools, but the typical process or typical workflow is combining those four things. So why not? And by the way, the success metric for a person is not that I get my high quality, like 10 keywords. It's like I get customers from SEO, right? So that is really the success metric. So if we really want to help a customer in our space, we have to go from like start to end. So we can tell you, hey, don't even worry about the keywords and stuff like that. We've already done the work for you. Here is the proof if you want to see it. And so we go to like do keyword research for you in the background, figure out what is more relevant to you, tell you what to write about, but only because we can do that. That's the reason why we can take ownership of the results. If we were just like a single layer, we wouldn't be able to do that.
If you need to hire the right developers and ship fast, then React Squad is for you. a boutique agency that specializes in React and only works with fast growth startups. Visit reactsquad.io to learn more.
I mean, AI is in your name. So do you think of it a bit as like the co-pilot for SEO from like, I mean, not to just like throw around fancy terms, but with just thinking of you're for early stage, which means either a founder or like a first marketing hire has to do that. And exactly. That person is super stretched thin. Or like, mm-hmm. like take us through like the more of the strategic part of like how you think about product there.
Yeah. So typically our customer, again, is like a super early on and they have some sort of product and some sort of traction. And they just have enough product going that they can bring on a head of growth, a marketing person. So one person. And that one person has to drive basically business for the whole company, inbound business, right, for marketing. And they are now doing social media. They're not doing TikTok. They're not doing blogs. There's like 100 things you can and want to do, but not that you can do. And so that's number one. Number two thing is content writing takes a long time because you want to be, it's a real, like you're showing your brand by writing content. So if I say, hey, you should do this thing this way, you're really putting yourself out there. And that content has to be really, really good for people to be like, I actually got real value out of this. So I trust whoever the person behind this is and the product that's behind this is, it's all about building trust, right? So that person does not have the time to actually learn the intricacies of SEO and figure out what to do and then like operationalize it. We want to say, hey, don't even worry about that. We do the background work for you. We just tell you so you can just start getting results today. So you can start at least writing your first piece. So once you've written the first piece, now you can put it on your social media. Let's convert this piece into like a LinkedIn post, a Instagram post. So your blog content sort of becomes your bedrock of content. So then from there, you can be like, okay, maybe let's now figure out this blog is doing really well. Let's see if you can make a YouTube video out of this. Let's see if you can make a quick TikTok video out of this. So I think of it as like simplifying first marketing hire of a B2B SaaS company's process much easier because they only have to write content and then they can do other things stemming out of the content provided that the content works.
It makes a ton of sense. Let's switch gears completely and go back in time. Walk us through your founder journey that ended up where we're at right now with you basically being the CTO here at Engine.
Yeah, I've been a builder for as long as I can remember. Up until last year, actually, I've shipped 31 different projects in the last 8 years, and Engine is my 32nd one. But yeah, so I've been I'm an engineer by training, so I went to computer science. Then I worked at IBM, then Apple, then Saks Fifth Avenue as a performance engineer. But I always thought that, you know, there was something missing. The work I was doing, it wasn't fulfilling the need I had. And I always had like other things I was working on the side. The problem was none of those ideas were making any money. So like about 20 different ideas that I had about 4 years ago, none of them made a dollar. They were just like, I would come up with an idea, code, and then put it out to the world, or like not even put it out to the world sometimes, and it'd be like, ah, that thing failed, you know? So I did that over and over and over and over again. When the pandemic started, that's when I sort of reflected back and I thought, okay, what is the common thread? Why are all these projects failing? And the obvious thing that happens to all technical founders is that I couldn't sell. I didn't know how to do marketing. I didn't know how to do sales. So I was like, okay, so for my next project, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick something that's already selling, and I'm going to not even try to build it, and I'm just going to try to sell it. So it's kind of like if you go to a gym, you have chest day or you have leg day, right? So you're only working out that part of your body. So that's what I was doing. So I really wanted to just like figure out how I can sell because I knew I could build. One of the things I did was I bought specialty honey. It's a blueberry honey that it's like I found it. My friend introduced me to it, but I got this blueberry honey, And I think it was $8 Canadian a jar. And you could only get, like, you have to buy 4 cases of it at a time. It's like a wholesale thing. So I bought 4 cases, shipped them in. And then I just started selling them. I was an intern, so I started selling them to other interns in the company. And we actually ended up like selling a lot of them. And we the honey was so good that I just ended up keeping them. And it's like, it was a good trade. But that kind of showed me that, hey, okay, if something is selling, then there is a way for you to then come in and like sell that yourself as well, because you already know the product is working, right? So if other people can sell it, why can't you? So I did that. And after that, I started with a couple of friends and cold emailing agency. So same thing. There's no development work that needs to be done there. It's just that, hey, Nicholas needs more X type of businesses to work with. Okay, let's do a $1,000 contract where we would send out cold emails for you. The business didn't work, but we got on so many sales calls that I just got like sales call experience. How do you close a sale? How do you like move a prospect through different stages of the sales lifecycle? So that was my like sales training. And then after that is when I started building things with the lens of like how I would sell it. Like, what would I say in a 30-minute sales call? And so I think that is a major lesson that I would pass on to other technical founders, is like, start learning sales because you can already build, because that's been your career up until now. And figure out, when you come up with an idea, what are you going to say in the 10, 15 minutes of your sales call that the other person would be like, I want this right now.
I love that, especially because you basically looked at what's my bottleneck to get a startup off the ground and went all in on that. Because sure, you could maybe squeeze like 10% out of you being a coder, meaning being even better, but that wouldn't have helped, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have helped. And the other way of doing it is like, hey, I'll go find a co-founder that is like good at business. And it's like all business people want like a technical person, all technical people want a business person. That also, I don't think works. I think because it's just like, you have two brains thinking about the same business. I think if one brain thinks about it, because if they can specifically think holistically, it actually works much better, and then can bring on somebody later on to take on that that sort of job role. But if a founder can both build and sell, I think that's an unstoppable founder.
Yeah, for sure. But right now, I mean, are you not right now in the CTO CEO combo? Or how is like your founder set up right now?
Yeah, I have a co-founder. So he is, his name is Edgar Brown. He's been through every single startup program in Toronto and worked at other growth marketing roles in SF as well. So the way we met was in the OnDeck program. It was an accelerator where you just go and kind of meet people, and that's where we met. But he is brilliant at just like talking to people and like building connections. For me, it's more of a learned skill. It's something I can do, but not something I'm great at. And it's just natural for him. Me, it's natural to code. So I think like that working style has been great for us, where we can like focus on our own skills, but we know what the other one can do, and we can always come in and help, but it's not a necessity.
Makes sense. And then let's go into what you're doing right now, meaning what milestone are you chasing right now?
Yeah, currently we're at 1500 MRR for Engine, and we want to get to 5000 in the next 3 months. So number one thing that I'm doing now, actually my only focus, is sending out as many cold emails as possible every day. I have a goal of sending 5 a day, and I started this 2 days ago, so I did 10 now. And my mandate for doing them today as well. But basically finding a way to get to 5,000 MRR.
Walk us through that specifically. How did you end up thinking that code email was like the go-to, or is it just like your first experiment? Like, because I think a lot of people are in the like low thousands of MRR where you, of course, like you showed you were able to build a product, which is amazing. You showed people actually pay for it, which is amazing. But I mean, not even one person can live off 1.5K. So you obviously need to push to 5, 10, 15K, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so here's the thing, and here's a secret that I found, is like, there's so many different things to do. So for marketing or sales, where I think most people get frustrated of like, hey, should I do this, and should I do that, or should I do this? And then like, there's always FOMO on Twitter. I just saw a post in the morning where someone said, hey, we posted on TikTok and we got like 20K of sales. And then now you're thinking, hey, should I do TikTok? But I think what it is, here's a real gem, which is under 10K, or I think even under 50K MRR, you don't need to, any one of the marketing channels will actually get you to the 10K mark, right? If you make enough TikToks, you will get to 10K. If I send enough cold emails, if I do enough paid ads, I will get to 10K. What the differentiating factor, like, or the reason why you wouldn't, is if you stop midway. So consistency is the only metric. It's not the which channel should I go for. So if you feel like, hey, TikToks are like my thing, and you all day you just made TikToks, and like for 30 days, for 60 days, you will hit the 10K. It's not that one is better than the other one. It's like, what, which one can you stick with the longest? Cold emailing is, I find it, so I have a bunch of like people that I know, like just founder network. So I know you from like our Indie Worldwide Stack, and there's a lot of good people there. So now I know I can get an intro from you, or I can get an intro from somebody else, and just like email them. I'm not hitting people out of the blue being like, hey, buy my service. It's people that I have some sort of a connection with that I can like relate to, right? And so I feel like, and I built up enough reputation where I post every day on Twitter, and I you know, contribute to community. So there's some sort of like authority sort of built up there as well that gives me the incentive to reach out to more people, because most people I reach out on cold email are spammers or scammers.
You don't do like the 1,000 emails a day to like random people.
No. It's 5 a day actually, and I spent I think 4 hours yesterday doing the 5. Because they're like hype. They're like, I go through and read everything. And like, I will try to find ways to get me like a warm intro as well. So I'd like to not reach out to person A that I want to reach to, or reach to person C that I know really well, and be like, hey, can I get an inner intro? Because I like, again, look, so we sell the product at $200 a month. We want to get to 5,000. We don't need a lot of people. We just need some good people, because those good people will bring in other good people. And so that's the philosophy I go with. So 5 a day right now, that's what we're going on.
Love that. And then what do you feel it's like, what's the biggest challenge right now? I mean, obviously sales, but besides, is that like the biggest thing you worry about right now? Like what's keeping you up at night as a founder? Because every founder has like the one thing that keeps them up at night, right?
Yeah, it's so a week ago it was, is the product good enough? And like, that's actually been my worry for the last 6-7 months, right? Because I use it, I think it works, but if like a random person sort of comes in, do they find value out of it? And it's a very scary concept, because what happens is when somebody does pay you 200 and they churn after 1 or 2 months, that means that what you said on the first call didn't actually carry over. And so you want to have the person stay on for as long as possible so you can understand that if they got the value. So for the last 6-7 months, that's what we've been worried about. But in the last week, we onboarded one of Canada's biggest SaaS startups and another one from the US. And we set up a very specific winning kind of like objective, which is we're going to have a call with everybody we onboard 1 week after, 1 month after, and 3 months after. Specifically, the 1 week after is a very important milestone, because that's when you just tried out the product and you're like, this person on the call was saying this thing, but it actually doesn't do this thing well, right? So it's the things that are like super fresh in your mind, because when somebody tries out the product for the first time, in 15 minutes, they already know if they're going to renew or not, or if they like the product or not. And so in the 1 week, you are opening yourself up to an insane amount of criticism, or like, you know, pushback on like all the stuff, and it should hurt a lot more. But so we've done that a few times. So now we are in the rhythm of like things we need to fix up. We fix them up. Last week, we had these 2 1-week check-in calls, and the results were very positive, where they wanted to give us a testimonial. In fact, one person already did, and the other person wanted to like talk about us on LinkedIn. So This helps calm down a little bit. Like, you know, that helps me sleep at night, which is at least one or two people found good value within the 1 week. Now, the real test is going to be 1 month, 3 months, and hopefully longer than that as well. So that was my worry last week. This week, it's more about making sure that all parts of the applications are working and nothing is being dropped. So I'm in the process of right now adding in Sentry or like some sort of like log tracking or error tracking, so that if something goes off in your screen, for example, that I get notified of it immediately. So that's, I'm in the process of like figuring how to do that.
I think what the smart thing there is that on the let's call it like backtracking, basically, I think using automation there is super smart, because you don't want your user to email you, this thing is not working, because maybe user 11 emails you, but like 10 people were like, that shit is super buggy. But you're doing qualitative calls with customers. You don't hide behind Mixpanel, behind Amplitude, behind Juno, whatever, and think, they're clicking here, there, this is the retention from A to B, and I bet this is what they're thinking. But you just like go on the call, even though it's uncomfortable, and look people in the eyes while they say, I don't love it, even though it's your baby that you put like hundreds of hours of time. I think that's logically an easy thing to do, but I feel like emotionally it's harder to do for a lot of founders than they think.
It's very hard. It's like a specific kind of like mindset, and like you gotta like almost see the bigger picture of that. Hey, if I don't do this, maybe my product gets like incrementally better in like a year. I don't want that. I want this thing to be better like in a week, because I know I can ship the updates to make it better in a week. And so that is the cost of like not doing that is massive. The other thing, by the way, is there people also like annual contracts are really great, because like in SEO takes time. So it's better to like lock them into a yearly contract, right? And folks are willing to pay for it. It's all good and fine and well. But we specifically only do monthly, because I want to know in a month if it didn't deliver, right? I don't want to wait. I don't want the feedback loop to be a year from now. And you've already checked out. When you see a couple of bugs, you see like it's not delivering. You're like, well, I paid, so I'm not going to go back and ask for the money back. So I'll just like not renew it. But that is sort of like emotional hit only comes for us after a year. We don't have years here. If I could do a weekly plan, I would, because we want to know week on week or month on month why it's not delivering value if it's not. And we want that to be shown in our MRR, because that's the thing that drives us, right? The better the MRR, the better the business is doing. So if the MRR is going down, we know we're doing something wrong. So that's also a deliberate choice of like staying with monthly. But that being said, after a while of just doing monthly, we had one customer that was like, hey, it's actually better for us to, like, we already like you, it's actually better for us to do annual. And so we'll do the annual thing. And we're like, okay, I think we have enough confidence that monthly now delivers. Let's just do a yearly one, so we can, again, we're bootstrapped, so we need some money in the bank to pay the software bills for the year. So that's helpful with that.
I would love to double click on the last thing you said, that you're bootstrapped. So how are you funding it right now? Because I mean, you have a co-founder. I bet that you guys can't live off like 1.5k in Canada with two people. So yeah. how do you make that happen financially?
Yeah. So my co-founder, he is actually an entrepreneur in residence, so EIR at one of the universities here. So that's been his income. And for me, I worked a year and a half before I started the company. And so I just had like a lot of runway left out. I think that's also like a thing that would focus on, which is, hey, if you're going to go full time on something, then you want to have like a lot of runway left, or like have a big runway built up, just so you can have time to explore different ideas and figure out what works and what doesn't. Because when you have this pressure of, hey, I'm going to run out of money tomorrow, then you can't really explore things, and you're always under the pump of like, hey, either this thing makes money today or I'm going to kill it. And then like you never built up that consistency of, hey, we got to send cold emails out for 60 days straight.
How much time did you, like, how much money did you save for, like, how many months?
Yeah, I saved up 150K for I think in Canada, it probably lasts like two and a half years.
More than enough time.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus, I mean, you're an engineer, meaning if you needed to, how long would it take to get a job? Maybe at most 3 months, likely less. Yeah.
Definitely. That's the other big part of being a founder as well, because being a founder engineer, like, there's even more opportunities because people see the value of, like, hey, this person can't just code, they can do other things. But if it was just an engineer, it's pretty easy to get a job. So I'm not too worried, though the economy looks a bit shaky. So it's a good time to build a startup on.
I bet. Where are we in those 2 years?
A year in. Yeah.
And if you look back at the last year, would you say it was successful or like any regrets? Sure, we would all do things differently in hindsight, but...
No, I don't think I have any regrets. I think we're right on track. It's just, it's one of those things where building something that's like you haven't done before, and like every person's case is different, whether you're building a B2B SaaS or a service company. So you need to make incremental progress, but like in the right direction. As long as that's happening, I think you're on the right track. The worst thing to probably do is like try again, do 6 months of building and then like quit. And then like it wouldn't go anywhere. I've done that plenty of times before, actually. but I think I'm actually super happy with the progress we've made. The lessons for founders are something we seek out ourselves, right? If we didn't want those lessons, if we didn't want to like learn cold email, if we didn't want to do paid media, we could just like get an engineer job and just like do the same thing every day. But more learnings is what we seek personally. And so in terms of that metric, I've learned a ton. So I can actually now just think of an idea and be like, okay, that's not going to work because I wouldn't have anything cool to say on a TikTok video that I would make to promote this app, right? Versus before, I would be like, oh, it's a cool idea. Okay, let's start coding. And then once it's coded, I'm like, I don't know how to sell this thing. It sucks. But that lesson itself is very important. So all those lessons kind of like put together are my receipts for the year. And I'm very happy with them.
Love that. One quick technical question again. Like how long did it take you to build the first version until you made your first sale? Like from the idea to like first dollar in Stripe?
Yeah, it's we did a bunch of pivots in between. So initially it was like a $10 tool. We now are a $200 platform. And the $10 tool, I built it out in about like 1 or 2 months. And the first dollar sort of came in when I was like talking about it on Twitter. I think I should have like a tweet somewhere, but basically it was like about a month and a half in. What I did was I went to Facebook and I wrote a post that said, hey, I just launched this thing and it helps you like write blog posts easier, faster. For $10, you can get like early access. And the price is going to go up afterwards. And then so I got on a call with somebody. It wasn't the right fit of a customer, but it was money. So I ended up taking it. And then working with them throughout, I figured out that it's not the right kind of customer. And you'll see that happening over and over where if you have a customer, you kind of learn from them and you say, hey, this is the kind of customer I want. So let's go find more of these kind of folks. Or I don't think this is the right fit because they're not going to see value because XYZ. And so maybe let's not get this kind of customer again. And so working through those kind of things, I actually called it like the golden goose formula for finding a perfect ICP, which is you sign up a bunch of people, you take a look at who is going to be the most successful out of them. You say, let's say person B, Bill, is going to be most successful. Okay, let's go out and find 20 more Bills. Okay, so we got 20 more Bills. I think like this Carly is going to be more successful. Let's not try finding more Carlys. And I just kind of go from there. And that's been the most productive for us to find the ICP.
I love that. And then as we're coming close to time, as a last question, where can people find you and the company online?
Yeah. So Engyne is engyne.ai. So engyne.ai. For me, I am on Twitter. That's where I talk the most, and I'll share like screenshots and behind the scenes stuff for when we're building Engine. That is this is so the Twitter is this is Suk underscore. So THISISSUKH underscore.
And as always, we will link everything up below. Suk, thanks a ton for coming on today, man.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
If you like this episode, then you'll love the SaaS Operator, a weekly newsletter brought to you by Earlynode, with actionable insights from SaaS experts in the industry delivered right to your inbox every Tuesday for free. Visit earlynode.com to subscribe.